You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. Thank you for joining us on this edition of the podcast. We're taking a look ahead to the racing on Monday. Just two meetings surviving Fakenham in the afternoon, and there's an all-weather programme at Wolverhampton in the evening. We'll be taking a look at a couple of races from Dunstall Park in due course. Sam Norris here, joined by Kevin O'Malley to first look through Saturday's action and then on to Monday. How the devil are you, Kev?
Not too bad at all, Sam.
Good.
I had a good sleep last night. Had a really enjoyable afternoon on radio yesterday with Mark, and some good racing on a day that was advertised as would be one for mudlarks. There was a few real quality performances.
Yeah.
So yeah, enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was good stuff for both Ascot and Haydock, of course. And I suppose we've got to start the podcast, Kev, by talking about two giant horses in the new one and Under So. The new one winning that Champion Hurdle Trial for the fourth year in succession. Under So winning the Clarence House Chase for the third year in succession. Starting with the new one, he's come up short at the very highest level, still a fabulous hurdler and capable of winning the weaker grade ones, and at grade two level he just dominates races like he did yesterday.
Yeah, I mean he will go down as one of the greats or anything like that, but one of the memorable hurdlers,
yes,
of recent years, just because of what he's achieved in terms of his prize money, in terms of his consistency. And you know, he's quite small in stature, he's not a big scopy imposing type or anything like that, but he just has a real willingness to win, and you saw that in no uncertain terms yesterday at Haydock Park, where he was really tested.
Yeah, cause he was probably headed by Chitabella on the run.
Yeah, who, you know, travelled well. Chitabella was given a really confident, patient ride by Harry Skelton. He tried to wait for the exact right moment to beat the new one, but the new one just wasn't having any of it.
Yes.
He knuckled down, and that final 100 yards, you just always knew that the new one was going to get back up and win that. And as you say, he's just a tremendous horse. He's going to take his chance now in the Stairs Hurdle, I believe. And why not?
Yeah.
He's not going to win the Champion.
No.
So why not have a pop at the 3 mile race? And Sam Twiston Davis said in the Racing Post, it affords him the luxury of being able to ride a race on him. Just see how he copes with dropping him in and holding him up and just seeing how he gets on. He could go very well in it. I couldn't see him getting into the first two or three, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I could see him running an absolute blinder to finish in the first five or six. And, you know, that would be great for Connections if they could do that. I'm sure they'd get a real thrill out of that.
Mm.
You know, he's a 10-year-old now. He's not getting any younger, but he's maintaining his form and operating at a very high level.
Yeah, and Under So as well, who won the Clarence House Chase for the third year in succession, he's won something like 20 races from 26 in his career. Under So is... He's almost unfortunate in a way that he's in the same generation of so many elite stable stars as well.
Yeah.
He almost hasn't been talked about in the same vein that some of his stable mates have.
Now he is.
He's a terrific horse, yeah.
Now he's just starting to get the credit that he truly deserves now.
Because he doesn't get injured like the rest of them do.
He's just a machine. I mean, he just keeps winning. I mean, he's not a good-looking horse by any stretch. You know, he's just a small little bull. That's all he is. But, you know, he's just got so much ability. Like, I back Sperodek. Sperodek is probably my favourite horse in training at the moment.
That was a fabulous run from Sperodek.
Was absolutely brilliant. He was given a great ride, and he tries so hard, that horse. I absolutely adore Sperodek. But there was a point shortly after they came out of Swinley Bottom where you looked at Sperodek, and just that class was just there instantly. Mm. Where he gained about four lengths on the rest of them. He came travelling around the bend really, really strongly. And from there, it was only a matter of time until he stamped his class. I mean, look, he was 4-9. We knew that he was likely to go ahead and win, but he still had to show all of his class in order to do so, and he did that. He really stamped all over Sperodek, who kept trying and kept running, but, you know, Under So is just a class act. And I mean, I think he's, what price is he now for the Ryanair? 5-2, 11-4?
7-2.
7-2?
Yeah.
Okay, so a little bit longer. That's not a bad price. I mean, he won't be 7-2 on the day. That's You can bet your bottom dollar he'll be closer to 7-4 than 7-2 for the Ryanair. Having said that, I'll still probably try and take him on in the Ryanair.
Right. If you were connections, would you be tempted to maybe have a stab at what could be an open champion chase this year?
Yeah.
If Altior goes straight there, there's questions about Politolog.
I mean, like, in the Racing Post this morning, they're saying that Altior is only 50-50 to make his next intended target. Is that really what you want to be hearing with Cheltenham only 6 weeks away? Not really. You know, so as much as it wouldn't be too much of a concern if Altior just turned up fresh at the festival because he's so good. At the same time, yeah, why not? You know, it depends. I don't know what Mullins and them are going to send. They could send Min. Duvan is unlikely now, I would say. I'd be all for that. Why not? He's good enough to finish first or second in a champion chase like that.
Mm.
So, but I do think the Ryanair is his race. If you go back and watch how he won that race last year, he just really, really he thrived over that 2.5 mile trip. You know, able to dominate. He really enjoyed the jumping. He enjoyed the ground, and everything about the Ryanair just seemed to suit him, you know. Whereas in the champion chase, at champion chase pace, he might just be taken out of his comfort zone again. You know, and he's not getting any younger, so why not keep him within his comfort zone?
Yeah, 7-2 for the Ryanair at time recording, and 8-1 for the Queen Mother Champion Chase if he were to go in that direction. A couple of other performers I want to touch on from the day. Jenkins is beginning to live up to the hype a little bit now. The headgear came on a couple of starts ago and is now beginning to become the horse that we were always told that he was.
Yeah, indeed. He's got such a fantastic engine, this horse. He doesn't jump very well. He has his quirks, but he's all quality. I just think he wants further, you know. He won over 2.3 miles there. And he looked very good. He was very strong at the finish. But just the way he travels, the way he moves through his race, and he's starting to settle a little bit better now. He does have a tremendous engine. I mean, he's won there off, what, about 1.43, I think. And he's won comfortably from a couple of really good yardsticks. So he'll be rated around 150 now. And if he steps up in trip and finds a bit more improvement in the next few months, he could be a graded performer, you know. But either way, he's in excellent form now. He's, you know, he's a bit, little bit of a money spinner. I'm sure they'll have other targets for him in due course, and he is very good.
Yeah.
As you say, there was other performances
on
the day that were excellent. You know, La Bague Raw as well, earlier on in the day in that 150. She was excellent. Mm. Did you see her?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
And if Gigginstein and Connections try and take a chance with Apple's Jade and send her somewhere other than the mare's race, La Bague Raw would have a serious chance in that come Cheltenham if Apple's Jade maybe has a crack at the stayers hurdle, potentially even the champion hurdle.
I think you're looking at this the wrong way. I think Apple's Jade is a certainty to go for the mare's hurdle.
Okay.
But I think La Bague Raw, I think the Connections of that horse, certainly Warren Greatrix, given that he's already won it with Cole Hardin. I reckon Warren Greatrix might be campaigning for the stayers hurdle. I've backed her for it straight after that race, non-runner, no bet. Because I just thought she looked outstanding, outstanding.
Yeah.
You know, that was a real graduation performance from her. She jumped well, just the way she moved and floated across the ground. She'd be better on better ground as well. If she keeps up that level of progression, getting £7 from the boys in an open year in the stairs, she would be a serious, serious player. But look, I don't know what way Connections be thinking. You know, that race she won yesterday, the OLBG.com Mayor's Hurdle, obviously was part of that series, the Mayor's Hurdle series.
Yeah.
So they might stay down that route and take on Apple's Jade. It's no easy task off level weights to beat Apple's Jade. I think she might arguably have a better chance of getting into the frame in the stairs.
Yeah.
To be honest, in an open year, she's young, she's progressive, she's a no-nonsense horse. But whatever she goes for, she's exciting.
Yeah, definitely so. And one final point on Saturday's racing then. We better mention the Dutchman who, of course, won the Peter Marsh, the big race at Haydock. We knew that you were going to need a horse that was going to handle conditions. 3 miles and a furlong, heavy ground, heavy Haydock ground as well, which is heavier than most. And toughed it out, a real likeable performance from the Dutchman.
It definitely was. And I mean, in hindsight, this is not after time, it's just hindsight thinking about it. If you look at the race and the horses that were in the race, he was really the only one there that was young, progressive, fairly lightly raced over fences, and was coming into this race on the back of two or three really solid runs in grueling handicap hurdles, you know, where he's acquitted himself well all season. So he was coming into the race as a young horse against, you know, some older horses who've been around the block. And he got the job done. And, you know, a real positive tonic for the Colin Tizard stable as well. They've been struggling to find their form. But that will have, that was a good win for the Tithart stable as well for the Dutchman, and hopefully they can kick on now and start finding some form ahead of the spring festivals.
Yeah, plenty more staying races coming up throughout the course of the season for that horse as well, the Dutchman. Let's move on to some of Monday's action then. We've got a couple of races picked out on the card at Wolverhampton, beginning with the first race today, which is the 4:20, a handicap over 7 furlongs, a Class 6 event coming up here, and 12 runners to sort out, Kev.
Yeah, an open handicap, but I mean, there's only two horses here coming into the race with winning form. Lady Victoria, one of only two among the 12 declared, coming into the race with a win, having scored at Southern last time out. She's improving, but I think she's got more to find to score here. River Rule, I think, is probably the dark horse here. He's had 3 runs in maidens where he went off at massive prices. You know, the classic route into small grade handicaps. Has been assigned a mark of 54. They might be a little bit disappointed with that. They might have been hoping for something a little bit lower. But at the same time, Stuart Williams Yard are very shrewd. Oisin Murphy's been booked to ride, and that one could be a little bit of a danger. Equally, Rangstone Lad for Gary Moore has a patchy profile, but again is another one that could improve for a handicap company. But the one that just stands off, jumps off the page, is Ray Purchase for Keith Dalgleish and Joe Fanning. Clocked a good speed figure for the grade, at least. That saw the last time out over 7 furlongs. Won that off a mark of 48, but produced an RPR of 61, suggesting that he's well ahead of the handicapper. I don't think a £6 penalty will be enough to stop him. He should have about a half a stone in hand of the handicapper, provided he maintains that form, obviously here at a new track. So the horse is in form. Joe Fanning himself as a jockey, he's had 7 wins from 26 rides in the last 14 days. The yard is going okay too, so I can't see any reasons why Ray Purchase won't follow up under a penalty, and he's my nap of the day.
Ray Purchase then the choice, and a strong choice as well in the Wolverhampton 4:20. We go on to the third race on their card, which is the 5:20, an hour later. This is a handicap over 5 furlongs. Just 4 sprinters lined up for this one, but an interesting quartet on the same card.
Yeah, it's a neat little race. I was a bit apprehensive about bringing a 4-runner race to the podcast, but select field of 5. It's 5 furlong handicap. It's a good prize of just under 10k. But I think there's 3 horses here coming here in good form. Gift in Time was 3rd over the course and distance last time out. Another solid effort following his success for James Given before that at Southall. He's a solid operator, but I'm just not sure he'll have enough to get on top of Desert Doctor and Big Time Maybe. Desert Doctor, he's won 2 of his last 3. He seems to be progressing well. He's fairly consistent on the clock as well. But for me, I think Tom Dascombe's Big Time Maybe is the interesting one. He's not been seen since scoring over the course and distance back in October. So fitness has taken on trust a little bit. But the stable has had only 6 runners in the past fortnight, and 3 of them have won. So they are finding the net early on in 2018. And Big Time Maybe, he looks the ideal sort to resume winning ways after a break. He clocked a very good speed figure here last time out. The handicappers put him up £7, which is fair. He did score nicely that day. And I think there could be more to come after a break. So Big Time Maybe would be my next best bet in the 5:20 at Wolves.
Big Time Maybe then, the NB chasing a hat-trick for Tom Dascombe and Martin Harley. Thanks for that, Kev. Just remind us one more time, please, your 2 selections on the card at Wolverhampton Monday evening.
Yep, my nap in the 4:20 at Wolverhampton is Ray Purchase. He comes into the race in excellent form. I'm hoping he can follow up again. And similar can be said of Big Time Maybe in the 5:20, my next best bet. He hasn't been seen since October, where he scored handsomely. I'm hoping that he can do likewise after a break.
Good stuff. Hope you can join us on Racing Radio on Monday, where we've got Fakenham in the afternoon and Wolverhampton coming up in the evening. Thanks for that, Kev, and best of luck.
Thanks, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.